what halo halo is.
Halo halo, that's a Filipino word. The literally it means mix, which is a mixture of everything.
Like what?
Like it's mainly crushed ice with mixed beans, like white beans, green beans.
Green beans?
Brown beans, mung beans, and some chickpeas. They're all sweetened ones. And it's mixed with it's mixed with different desserts like yam jam, and
ice cream, no ice cream,
and custard. And that's after doing all that, you top it off with ice cream, usually with any flavor of ice cream, but usually it's ube ice cream, which is yam.
You put it in a blender? No.
No.
I thought you put it in a blender.
No, you don't put it in a blender. You mean the crust ice?
Yeah.
No, there's a machine for that to make snow cones.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you put everything in a blender.
You don't put everything in a blender. What do you... What do you... What you meant is a puree, not halo halo.
All right. Thanks, Mom.
So welcome to Halo Halo on WHFR, Washington Heights Free Radio, here on WHFR.org. Today on Halo Halo, we are going to have readings and talk to Lola Kunduksen, Heights, Washington Heights resident, longtime Washington Heights resident, originally from Beirut. I met her at the Above the Bridge reading a couple weeks ago. She was reading some of her poetry, both in Armenian and in English. And I was so taken by just listening to her read that I asked if I could go over to her house. I wanted to impose myself to talk to her more and to listen to her read. So I did. Lola is the person behind the Armenian Poetry Project, which you can find at armenian-poetry.blogspot.com. And... also just released a chapbook, The Accental Observer, and received a NOMA grant from the NOMA Re-Grant Program, made possible by the JPJ Foundation and the Upper Manhattan Empowerment Zone Development Corporation. Lola Kunduksen.
Հասանք ամառվանը սկիզբը և տուն կանհետանաս ինձի թողնելով հիշատակներ, փեգորներ միայն, Ալ չեմ սիրել ամառները, թուն հոս չես, թուն հոս չես. A lot of these are inspired by the neighborhood, I want you to know. They're about the seasons, they're about the neighborhood, walking around, checking out the leaves in the fall, that kind of thing. Such as this one, Ashun. Արևոտ նոյեմբերյան շողեր սենյակիս մեջ, հերացայնի գաբեր մոտու հերու, սիրո ու բարեկամության պարադոներ. Թուրսը տեղդորակ դերևներ կգդրդվին քայլերու դակ, կնստիմ մետրո ու գերտամ ուր, ուր որ գամ ես, մյուս կյանքիս մեջ, բայց ինչպես ապրիմ հոս և հոն, կհասնիմ մյուս կայարանը, վերջ երևակայության. This is the English translation. Fall, sunny November rays in my room, phone calls from near and far, love and friendship parades. Outside, turning leaves break under my steps. I take the subway to go to that other life, but how can I live in both places? Arrival, end of daydreams. This poem is about the death of a childhood friend. Aran Yücükyan passed away in 2007 in a horrible car accident. The day that I received the sad news, a cousin of mine had returned from a visit to historical Armenia. She went to a city called Ani, and that was the capital of Armenia 1,000 years ago. It now lies between the borders of Turkey and the Republic of Armenia, and it is almost entirely in ruins. It used to have one day, a long time ago, 1,000 churches. So the city of Ani, the former capital, is also used as a personal name. And my friend's wife is Ani, so the title is The Two Anis as a result. I will read it first in Armenian and then the English translation. Yergu Aniner, Ara Nujukyanin Hishadagin. Seranis Vrayen, Ani Karaken Gaveg Dorner. Tarere Iver Gespasein, Vor Haitzerker Havaken Uperen, Ais Aperun Sa Irere. Առաջին անգամ բռնեցի զանոնք ու ահա հերվեն լուրեր, ուրիշ անիմը ևս կգանկնի որբ ու քաչ. The two Anis, to the memory of Ara Nujukyan. On the table, clay pieces from ancient Ani, waiting for centuries for Armenian hands to gather them and bring them to these shores. I hold them for the first time and lo, news from afar, another Ani stands orphaned and courageous. It's tough. That one is a tough one. The next poem is semi-autobiographical. This is me in the kitchen listening to NPR. And I wrote this in 2006. There's an Armenian version and a completely different English version. That's not a translation. Yeah. And it's called Life. Gyank. Այս մեգը կործարանիմը մեջ մերավ 25 տարեկանին, ուրիշ մը զինվոր, երորդ մը գետոիմը մեջ նահատակ. Գին մը շապատը 7 օր կսպասարգե, քույրը ուրիշին զավակները կմեծնե, գյանքի հերոսներ, Եպ ձեր կարքին պիտի հանգչիք, ով ձեր զավակները կմեծնե, ով ձեր մահը գուլա. Life, English version. She dices the onions finely. A construction worker, 25, falls to his death. She adds the coriander, cloves and ginger. A soldier, 21, walks over a roadside bomb. She removes the meatballs from the fridge. A journalist, 43, gets shot through the head. She stirs the sauce over a low fire and adds a few tears to the pot. This one was released on YouTube after I read it at the International Poetry Festival in Medellin, Colombia. I was extremely fortunate to be invited to that festival. It was an amazing opportunity. And I met wonderful crew, wonderful organizers and, of course, poets from around the world. So I was deeply honored. Some of my poems are inspired by my usual day-to-day observations of life around me, whether it's Washington Heights or just after the gym, going and sitting in a restaurant and checking out, you know, what people are doing and just jotting down a few notes. I have two such poems. One I'm going to read, and then the other one, which is unpublished. This one is untitled. Nastadzem yegra kuntin megan gyna, pats gardzes ketvim hysisain aprige. Shuchus gamir korker, armaveniner, khuanotsen hamer puirer. Hon ginme champagne gegonze, timatsi atore tadarge. Ինչ կդոնե եւ որուն գնացը գխմե իրազատուչան այդ օրվան քերացիկ հիշադակը քալիկ քիշերվան այցելուն թե սիրահարին մատներուն հետքը իր վզին ու սերուն վրա. I'm sitting in this corner of the globe, but I could easily be in North Africa, surrounded with red carpets and palm trees, a delicious aroma permeating from the kitchen. A lady sits nearby gulping champagne, an empty seat before her. What is she celebrating? Whose health is she drinking? Her freedom? The end of a delightful day? The visitor tonight? Her lover's fingers imprint on her neck, her shoulders? You see what I mean? Okay. Let me go to the O'Neill's one. Okay. Let me find it. Something your grandmother might like, though. At O'Neill's after Wednesday's gym, I'm watching Steve serving at the bar. He smiles with inquiring eyes. What can I serve you tonight? Pour that Wyatt Cabernet, my man. Will that go well with the striped bass? But first, tell me, how many love stories, sob stories, heartaches, smiles, drunks, tips, stinginess did you witness tonight?
I was curious about why the poem about in the kitchen, why you hadn't translated, why each version is different, but you said that they're the same. You said they were the same poem, where you described them as if they would be the same poem, but then they weren't a direct translation. So why do you consider them the same poem without direct translations of each other versus two different poems?
That's a very good question. No one's asked me that before. The source of the inspiration, me in the kitchen making Indian food, as a matter of fact.
Coriander.
Yes. I think everything except the chutney I made from scratch that day. And it was very involving, so I was really paying attention in the kitchen, and then all of this news came in. So the inspiration for the poem is the source of sad news on the radio. There was a summer when there were several construction workers falling to their death because of incidents in New York. At the same time, as you know, violence against journalists is very much present in certain countries. My father is a retired journalist, so hearing about journalists being hurt really shakes me up. Sometimes it's severe, like people getting killed, beheaded, and sometimes it's just sexual abuse or physical abuse by what happened recently in the Middle East, for example. Their life is always in danger. They take immense risks to give us news, to give us the truth, and it really shakes me to my core when I hear something like that. So I think that what happened during the translation process, it took a life of its own. It doesn't always do that, but it became another poem in the English version, and it sounded better in that manner. That's why I say English version and not translation. But so far in my poetry, it has a unique position. I've gotten amazing responses to this piece, and many people who don't know my work, that's the one that they mention first. And even though it's very short, it's just a minute in each version, it seems to appeal to the sensibilities of many individuals who don't even know Armenian. They feel something when I read it. So I'm very pleased with that. I was born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon. I moved to New York in 1979 as a teenager because of the Civil War. Every generation of my family has moved because of war, deportation, or genocide, unfortunately. New York is my home, and Washington Heights became my neighborhood in 1985. I came here as a student, as many, you know, people do, as a roommate, and I made it my home. I've been extremely fortunate that at the same time the neighborhood improved. I used to always have a sense of pride knowing that there were theater district people coming home with me at 10:30 p.m. from a movie or something. They came from work, of course, and I came from some cultural event. And I grew to really like the place, to enjoy the cloisters, the gardens, and finding out in the past decade or so that it's a thriving place with its own arts movement and writers living here. So I draw a lot of inspiration from nature, from walking around. Sunday mornings you might see me in Fort Tryon Park doing, you know, unrecognizable in my athletic gear perhaps, but I'm there walking and noticing the birds and the flowers in every stage of life. It's tremendous opportunity to, I never thought I was a nature person until I moved to this neighborhood, so mm-hmm. I'm very happy about that.
So you've mentioned writers that you've encountered here, but also you were telling me earlier about readers too, people that you would gather here in your living room for the Dead Armenian Poetry Society?
Poet Society, yes. When I graduated from Columbia, I really missed having, you know, gatherings and reading and writing and homework and things like that. You know, the intellectual work that's involved. I suddenly felt that there was something lacking. So I had already seen a movie called the Dead Poets Society, and I thought, why not get together some of my classmates, some of my professors and friends, and read poetry out loud? So we started meeting here on a quarterly basis, and then one of my professors moved away, so we stopped doing that. But I, about 7 years ago, I started gathering people again, and this time, I think through the power of the internet and sending reminders, we had a full house every time. We would have definitely 10 people. It was standing room only. We'd sit down. Everybody would bring a nosh and read a poem or two, give an introduction about the poet, and we had a grand old time. During one of these gatherings, I said to the people in my living room, what do you think about starting a blog and putting these things down and maybe recording and dispersing them through RSS feeds and iTunes? And everybody said, yes, great idea. But of course, no one was willing to do the work. So I started a blog called the Armenian Poetry Project just for fun. And I started noticing that immediately people were noticing, you know, the hits were growing, and it is now coming on to 5 years. It has a life of its own. I recently found an intern to help me out, and the posts are appearing daily in Armenian or English. The authors are mostly of Armenian origin, or if they've written something that deals with Armenia, its culture, or one of the diasporans. For example, I found a Hungarian poem written about the Budapest Armenian Cemetery. I didn't know that there was a large enough community there to have its own cemetery. There was a 19th century Bulgarian poet who wrote a world-famous piece about the deportation of Armenians in Turkey in the 19th century, the Sultan Hamid massacres, as they're called. So I found out a lot of little things here and there, plus the usual well-known poets of Armenian origin in the United States, Canada, or Europe, Middle East, and Armenia proper. So it's been very interesting reading all of this. Of course, a lot of my resources are anthologies, books sent to me, books collected, purchased, or researched at the New York Public Library. There was one man who reply to a survey I did. You know, the survey was, you know, do you read Armenian or are you just English reader? And this man wrote and said, I'm from Sweden and my grandfather was an Armenian poet. I've never read his work. And I thought maybe I would find him in your pages. So, of course, he sent me a few scanned pages. And I found out through research and through help from friends who had books that Halut Gostakchian was born now just over 100 years ago in a town in Iran. Grew up in Bombay. His father had a job there, moved the entire family there. After the passing of his dad, he moved to Europe, settled in Paris in the 30s, and then in the south of France. He always wrote in Armenian. He was not very well known, except in the beginning of his career. He's published in some books. One of them I found in the Library of Congress. But because of the lack of translation, perhaps, he became less and less known. He was a poet's poet. And a lot of people loved him. They would go visit him. And he passed away in the 1970s, having published only two volumes. One in the 30s, and the second one towards the end of his life. So I took a few of the poems and translated them. And during one of the Dead Armenian Poetry Society sessions, we did a Skype talk with his grandson. And the friends who were in attendance that day and I read the poems in the original Armenian and then in the English translation. Those were some of my first translations of other people's works, and I felt, you know, very happy to give this man an opportunity to hear his grandfather's work. So that's one of the happy stories. Other opportunities, I went to Armenia, I recorded some poets there and posted them, of course, on the website. The RSS feeds are released daily. The iTunes are not archived. They disappear. But if you go to the original website, the audio MP3s are always listed there. And
can you say what the website, the URL?
Yes, the Armenian Poetry Project is armenian-poetry.blogspot.com. So an Armenian professor from Argentina who teaches in Barcelona contacted me to say she wanted to invite one of these poets. And as a result of this poet being open and willing to be recorded and sending me her work, her poems were translated into Catalan and she was invited to a poetry gathering in Barcelona. So this is where the internet comes at play. This is where collaboration between authors is a wonderful thing. And being open to, you know, trying out something new, I find that very, very important. Some people are unwilling. I mean, they're hermit-like, perhaps, and I respect that. But being part of a community, be it Armenian or where you live, you know, my Washington Heights neighborhood, the English-speaking authors or French-speaking authors I mingle with, these are very important collaborations. And I think that an author, as lonely as the work may be, writing and so on, you have to give yourself an opportunity to read in public, to go and read other people's works, and be willing and open to collaborate. It should not be a lonely job, past perhaps your, you know, sitting down at your desk and doing the work. You know, there's a sharing portion. So when it comes to Armenian authors who write in Armenian, Western or Eastern, since it's a minority language and less than 5 million people, I believe, today speak the language, especially my dialect of Western Armenian, it is crucial to be translated. I've had a wonderful opportunity of going to Medellin, Colombia, because I could meet a deadline. My work was translated by myself, and within a month I was able to type and send my bibliography, my biography, and a sample of my work. I tried to convince my fellow authors to translate their own work. I also tried to convince them that they do not need to necessarily write in English, because there are people, there were 5,000 individuals at the opening and closing ceremonies in Medellin, Colombia, interested in hearing other languages, poetry in other languages. And then there was obviously translations, there were anthologies sold, programs distributed for free, but people do have an interest in hearing other languages. There are wonderful opportunities around the world. There are a dozen, at least, well-known international poetry festivals. So I encourage people to write in their native tongue if they so desire.
Yeah, so the only time I've really experienced readings were mm-hmm. some of the Penn World Voices Festival readings where yes. you know, the author will read in native language, but then the translation will run up on a screen behind them.
That's right. Yes, that's a wonderful festival. It's coming up in April. Anyone in New York interested, there are free events. There are several venues around town, a couple of them in Brooklyn, but mostly Manhattan. The program will be posted, I think, sometime in March. So I encourage anyone interested in hearing other authors, well-known authors, come to the Penn World Festival. It's a wonderful opportunity. The Poets House in downtown New York also has a lot of international authors visiting. They do also very interesting programming. The last one I attended was about death and, you know, sorrow and things like that. So very original programming. And obviously the authors talked about their personal experience, but they also did a little, they were researching for a project, for a book project, other authors who had written about their personal losses, you know, in the past 150 years or so. So those may not be very easy topics, but poetry is not about easy things. It's about what wrenches your guts. And it can be love, it can be death, it can be sorrow, disease. It can be about flowers in the park, but it's always going out on a limb emotionally. And there are individuals who can't express that. Maybe they can receive something when they hear poetry. Mm. So that's what keeps me going anyway. So
I have a question about a term that I actually hear all the time, but I realized just now, I don't know if I know what it means. What does it mean when someone says, that person's a poet's poet? I've heard that about that person's a writer's writer or a poet's poet.
The way I understand the term is there are people who are not very well known, but other poets know them, seek them, admire them. They may not be widely published, but there is a niche community that appreciates and reads their work. So a lot of people
that makes sense.
Don't make a living with poetry. It's extremely hard. There are very few individuals who are well published. They're a poet laureate. They're at major gatherings like the Dodge Foundation Festival, which is biannual and travels around the world, and you can go hear them. Some of them are streamed live. But some of them, you know, you have to go and hear them. So it's nice to know that despite the fact that there are individuals not very well published or well known, there are individuals who appreciate their work. You know, so if you're dead, you're already entering slowly into obscurity, unfortunately. So, you know.
Well, some art forms, that's the opposite. Say in the art world, sometimes once you're dead, suddenly everyone knows who you are.
the visual world is a different story. It's true, but it's who you know and where you go. And but for a poet, it is very important to make human connections, go to readings, and so forth. And I'd like to read a poem that I wrote about this. I have a email friend who's a fellow poet in Lebanon. We've Skyped, we've emailed back and forth. And before we even know that we were poets, we had become friends. And after one of our conversations, I got inspired to write this piece, and then I translated it. So it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but a lot of it is serious. This is, at present, unpublished. Khrat hay panasterdzin sako aryanin merzoyutsin aritov. Եթե քրել գուզես, արդվա ժամը 4-5-ին արտընցիր, երբ մտածումներդ երազներուդ հետ կապված են ու քրե։ Երբ քրել չես գնար, գարտա ու մտածե, համեղ ճաշմի եպե, գադուտ սիրե, ընկերները տես ու հանգչիր, Tankaranaitsele u Picasso-in pareve. Kavat me yegu khme u yetka ardva jama 4-5-in artntsir u kre. Yete musat chka mispaser. Havana pat jam portadze. Andarin mech leran kakatin miche gragani apin hos u hon tapare. Yep musat veratarna u dokhure gam kich mashat khmatz u geradze jampan gorsan tsutsats gam andramatire iren hoktarais kisher. Da kuk angorim madur u vara ardva jama 4-5-in artntsur vor hedet kre. Yep amen kirkeret gartatsadzes lrakir kne u interne. Lezut mashage մտածումներդ գաղկիտիր ու որվան լուրերը զնն է ու չապճպե։ Եթե ֆրանսացի հեղինակներուն գործերը գիտես, ապրիգեցիներուն նկարտա։ Եթե անգլիացի գրողները գիտես, անցիր հնդիկներուն, ապա ուրիշ ժողովուրդներուն։ Եթե փամ մսիրես թարգմանե, յետքը փանաստեղծին շնորհավորանքի երկտողը մկրե։ Եթե շուրջդ մեկը չունիս, քնա եւ ուրիշին գործերը լսե։ Մանկությանդ խաղավայրը հիշե։ Լացողներեն, խաձողներեն ու չարերեն հերու մնացիր։ Փարիներուն հետ դունդուն շինե։ Այդ դունը մտքիդ մեջ քրադան, դբարանի ու դբրոցի մը վերածե։ Եթե չես կնար այսօր կրել, հիվանդի մայցելե։ Աղքատ մը ճամփան տեսնես գեցիր ու պարևե։ Ամեն թա խենտ մը ունի, հետը խոսե։ Դարպել, դարպել մարդկանց մտի գրե, ետքը արդվա ժամը 4-5-ին արդնցիր ու կրե։ Եթե շատ գրել չես կնար, հիշեթե Ժիմբորսկան միան 250 փանաստեղծություն տված է ու քրագանության նոբելը շահած է։ Բարեկամություններդ ուշադրությամբ մշակե, շատ մը փանդագյալ ու մեռած քրողներուն գործերը իրենց շրջանագը բահբանած է։ Միշտ տրամի համար մի կործակցիր, ոչ ամիշտ ծրի աշխադիր։ Մի ծկեր, որ ուրիշները կեզ լրեցնեն, քրելու իրավունքը փոլոր մարդկանց ազատության մաս կգազմե։ Գյանքը գարջ է, երկար ադեն սիրե, մարդկաց հետ գեր ու խմե, բայց ետքը արդվա ժամը 4-5-ին արդնցիր ու կրե։ Advice to an Armenian poet, to Sako Aryan after our telephone conversation. If you would like to write, wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. when your thoughts are intertwined with your dreams and write. If you experience a block, love, read and think, cook a tasty meal, see your friends, relax, pet your cat, visit a museum and say hello to Picasso, have a drink or two, and then wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. and write. If your muse is absent, don't wait. She might be traveling. Go to the woods, to the mountaintop, to the Mediterranean coast, wander here and there. When your muse returns and is sad or she's had a few drinks and too much to eat, has lost her way or is disinclined, take care of her tonight. Snuggle her in a warm bed. But tomorrow morning, wake her up at 4 or 5 a.m. so she can write with you. When you have finished reading all your books, buy a newspaper and study it. Refine your language, arrange your thoughts, and read the daily news with a critical eye. If you have studied all French authors, move on to the African ones. If you're familiar with all the English authors, move on to the Indians and then other ethnicities. If you love an author's work, translate it, then write him or her a note of congratulations. And if you don't know any authors in your area, go to a reading. Remember your childhood playground. Stay away from the criers, biters, and naughty kids. Play house with the nice ones. Then morph these structures into a bookstore, printing press, or a school. If you can't write today, visit a sick friend. When you meet a beggar, say hello. Every village has a so-called idiot. Have a chat. Listen to various opinions, then wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. and write. If you're unable to write much, remember that Zymborska published only 250 poems and then won the Nobel for Literature. Develop solid friendships. So many imprisoned and dead poets had their work saved from oblivion through friends. Don't collaborate solely for money. Don't work for free all the time either. Don't allow others to shut you up. Freedom of expression is an integral part of every being's rights. Life is short. Love for a long time. Enjoy the company of others. then wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. and write.
I love how for the readings of both, if in both languages of that, it was the first one where you had hand motions too. The voice was going in and out of the microphone. And I didn't know what you were reading for the, when you were reading in Armenian. But there was a lot of, you know, very emphatic finger, like, yes, you know.
Well, it is, after all, an advice, you know. And I know that there's one one verse that sounds a little bit like, do not a moneylender be, you know, out of Hamlet or something. But those are some of the most important parts of what Shakespeare wrote. And you know, it's an advice from a father to a son, and this is an advice to a younger poet. He's not much younger than I, but I feel in many ways, living in New York, I have so many opportunities to experience that I can share them, because I know that some of my fellow poets are not hearing other languages. They're not going to a Penn World Voices Festival. They're not going to a Borders bookstore and finding a bilingual, you know, edition of by a Palestinian poet. I mean, these are amazing things. They have other opportunities, and we have others. So it's that kind of an exchange. But it is very much based on our conversation and what I told him, and then the rest of it is from my personal life, obviously. But you know, petting a cat. I mean, you know, I used to have a cat. But you know, drinking. I think a lot of authors drink, so having a glass of wine or two, you know. You don't. It's not very far-fetched. Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the chapbook?
Yes. So, I've been putting this together for a while, and when I went to Medellin, Colombia, I didn't have a book with me. Everybody was exchanging books. Of course, the readers would come and sign copies to the public, but amongst us also, people were exchanging, the authors were exchanging books. I'd love you to have my book, can I sign it to you? Yeah. And I didn't have anything. And that's when I really felt that I was missing up on something. So when the opportunity came to apply for the NOMA grant, I mentioned this, and I said, I really would like to have this, because it's like your business card. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a visiting card among authors. And the poems are in English and Armenian with translations into Spanish. And this is a result of the festival. And I thought it was a natural collection. Why not print them together? So it's 28 poems total in the three languages. So, part of my grant proposal is to teach a workshop in one of the schools. I have already a date in April. I'll be going to the George Washington High School to teach two classes of freshmen English, do a little poetry appreciation, a little bit of poetry introduction class to the kids. I've also contacted a local Armenian parish to see if they'd be willing to do a poetry event, maybe part of the NOMA art stroll, but that's still to be determined. But I'm trying to encourage friends of mine who do a reading series to collaborate with me, and hopefully we'll get something going for the next June festival. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I saw that you'll be reading coming up soon with Sunday Best?
Correct. All the NOMA writing, individual writing grantees were invited, and four of us will be reading Sunday, March 6th at 4 p.m. It's a wonderful venue. We have many such venues in the neighborhood, as your listeners already know. We have also the Uptown Writers Workshop Series that I highly recommend. Look it up. It's 6 to 8 sessions at a time, so there's always something new starting.
Is it a writing group? Or
it's a workshop with a teacher, mm-hmm. And I took a workshop last year with them. I really liked it. I met some fellow authors who are teachers and wanted to expand their horizon in another form, or people who are beginner or trying to develop a portfolio for an MFA application. So you have a lot of serious authors, and the classes are in the neighborhood. So look them up.
Is there anything else that you want to read or not?
It's okay if no. I'd love to read some more, sure. Maybe something that shows, since then I'll select something else.
This poem's in response to a question that I asked you earlier.
On why I gave up ceramics. The title is Who Can Name the Nine Muses? There is Calliope, the good voice, the muse of epic poetry. Then Cleo, the one for renown and history. Erato, who inspires lyric poetry. Euterpe, to help you with musical ability. There is Melpomene, who drives you to tragedy. Polyhymnia, for mime and sacred song. Terpsichore, for dance and choral song. Talia, for comedy. Urania, for astronomy. But where is the muse of pottery? Okay. There you go.
But this teapot that we're drinking the tea out of is a lovely teapot.
I have a lot of my work at home, as you can see. I enjoyed it, but I stopped getting inspired after 25 years. And I don't miss it. I used to do everything about poetry, go to exhibits, spend hours and hours in a ceramic studio, paint, go back, wait, trim, throw, wait, wedge, fire, glaze, the whole thing. But, you know.
That's a telling sign if you don't miss it.
I right now, I don't miss it, so.
But one thing that I was surprised by was that you feel that you said, oh, I've only been writing for 5 years.
Or that's true.
The other thing that you said that was...
Seriously,
I
consider that my serious period. I mean, I wrote science fiction when I was in high school. I mean, you know, we had English composition classes in college, that sort of thing. But when I said, you know, I really want to make an effort to keep a journal and make an effort to spend time and sit down and write and all of that stuff. And also the Armenian Poetry Project, it's very involving, so it teaches you a lot when you read other people's work. So
there was something else that you said earlier that related to that I thought was good. When you said that before, you made quick reference, you were talking about someone, but then saying, oh, before we knew we were poets.
Yes.
And so yes. What was that moment when you knew, or when did one move to the next? Even if you didn't know that moment was, when did you realize after the fact that transition had happened, and now think of yourself in this other light?
That's a very good question. In the case of Sacco, after we had corresponded for a while, I suddenly recognized his name in two Armenian papers, one published in Montreal called Horizon, which means horizon in French. It's also a loan word in Armenian. And Pakin, it's a quarterly paper published in Lebanon. They're both published only in Armenian. And so I was like, this name is familiar. Could it be the same guy? And then suddenly, you know, we were introduced. We were in a mail chain, something like that. And I found out it was the same guy. And I said to him, you know, I'd like to publish your work. I run the Armenian Poetry Project. And, of course, he started noticing my work there, too. I have a few pieces in the list. So it was very exciting that we knew each other before we knew what was it that, you know, thrilled us and excited us with literature. So it's very exciting. It's very cool.
Okay, what are you reading next?
Three Cups of Heaven. Since we're having some tea, I'm going to read this. This is based on a true story. Three Cups of Heaven. It was John who mentioned it first. I've discovered saffron tea, he said, and was quite determined that it should be subtle. Tea is black, he added, just as white is red. I couldn't agree more. Patty came in with a care package that had Iran stamped all over it. Bags of prepared saffron tea, 250 grams of exported Isfahani Mirzapur, green cardamom barely dried, and a package of saffron you can't buy this side of the Atlantic. Saffron, the other gold. I poured the water in the pot, added the tea, the pods and the magic powder and drank 3 heavenly cups. Yeah, that's about, you know, daily life.
Yeah. Do you find that your poetry has changed over these 5 years? Like or have you found that it's changed? I can't imagine something couldn't change, but
I think that through writing, my Armenian has improved, you know, reading, writing, researching. I feel much more confident in writing in Armenian, and I've gotten a lot of feedback, so those are constructive criticisms that help you. Is this clear? Who's the voice? What are you talking about? All of those things, little things that help you guide to fine-tune it. One of the nice things about poetry is that you don't have to be set on, you know, a schedule. You can go back to it 3 months from now and just do a little tweaking. That's gives you a lot of flexibility. I think that other writers have a greater burden of time and concentration and discipline. They have to write a certain number of words per day. Poets can be a lot more flexible, you know. They can have their daytime job and still find time to write and do something that's worth sharing. So we're very fortunate with that.
Is there a language that you start in? Or when you write a poem, are you translating always from English to Armenian, Armenian to English? Or does sometimes a poem start in one or the other language?
It starts in either or. My Armenian poetry starts in Armenian. And then for sharing purposes, I tend to translate it. Most of them are already available in translation, but they're written originally in Armenian. So I'm very happy that I can do that. It's a skill that I had to redevelop because I've lived in New York most of my life. I don't speak Armenian every day unless I'm chatting with my parents on the phone. So it's a bit of a challenge to keep up, you know, to expand the vocabulary when you have not used it outside of school. I left school in Lebanon before graduating, so a lot of this is self-discipline and making an effort on a day-to-day basis. So it is my maternal tongue, and I'm very comfortable with it, but to write in it is a different story, you know. Chatting with your friends, your family members, it's wonderful, but the literary language is a little bit, takes a bit more of a vocabulary and trial and error and keeping the grammar correct, all of that effort. Spelling, you know. As you noticed, Armenian has its own unique alphabet. It's 36 characters. Doesn't look like anything else. It is, the closest relation is Middle Iranian, Parthian, loan words from that because it's a sister. Armenia proper is now north of Iran, so, but that's how far we go, that's it. All the other sister languages have died out through time, so it has remained itself on its own branch now. But it's Indo-European, it has declensions, and it has its own challenges, but it is a beautiful language. And I hope your listeners enjoy hearing a new language.
That's wonderful. It's so musical, too.
It is.
There, you've mentioned names throughout this whole interview, different, you know, poets that you've had, you know, built up relationships with. But I was wondering if maybe in one place, can you give us people that that you think that you want to make sure that we know about.
I'd love to mention.
That is in translation, or that really someone who really should be translated, if anyone out there is listening.
Well, I would love to invite your listeners to take a look at the Armenian Poetry Project. I would like to mention a few contemporary authors who write in English and are very accessible. But the heritage comes through, and therefore they have something to give that is unique in American literature. Peter Balakian, Diana Derhovanesyan, Gregory Janikian, who teaches at UPenn. UPenn is a wonderful author. Those come to mind. There's a West Coast community that is growing. We have young authors who are becoming more and more well-known. So look them up in the Poetry Project. Too many to mention right now. But those that are in English are mostly English language writers. So they'll be very accessible to your listeners. And that's a great way to start. It's inspired by Washington Heights. It's entitled The Winter Garden, and I mentioned in it Christmas, and by that I mean Armenian Christmas, January 6th. The reason I have to explain it is because the sequence may seem a little bit odd. 5 amaryllis bulbs came home last fall. I planted them one by one. The first bloomed during Thanksgiving, another on my birthday, then again on New Year. The last 2 sprouted for Christmas. White and pink flowers, delicate petals, a tall, strong stem reaching high. They brought spring indoors when all was barren and cold in Fort Tryon Park and my soul.